Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Hump Day, Wednesday, the 14th of December, 2022. Todd Albaugh, along with our producer, engineer, all-around great guy, Aaron Zommers. We welcome you back into the program. Hour number two here on the big show. Back to callers in a minute, and coming up at quarter after the hour, Chris Pauls, former writer for The Onion and published author himself, and former writer for, lead writer, head writer for the Todd Albaugh Show. Actually, it was called Sunday Night back in the Platteville days. So he'll be joining us live in studio in a few minutes here in this hour. Weather is the big story if you live in the northern part of the state today. For our listeners this morning across Civic Media in the Wausau area, expect a high near 34 degrees today. Rain showers, freezing rain, the whole kit and the caboodle. About an inch of freezing drizzle or rain today, but then tonight is when things get very snowy. Around 8 inches of accumulation of snow tonight in the Wausau area. Tomorrow, snow showers, mainly before 9 a.m. and a high of 34, an additional inch of snow possible tomorrow in Wausau. Amory, not quite as bad, but still pretty wintry, a high of 36 today in Amory. Look for rain and snow showers before 10 a.m., maybe an inch or two of accumulation possible in Amory. For tonight, a rain before 1 a.m., and then another 1 to 2 inches of snow tonight in Amory. Tomorrow, another 1 to 3 inches. So Wausau gets dumped on kind of late afternoon, overnight tonight, and it's kind of coming in gradual increments up in Amory. If you are down in WRCE land, Richland Center, expect a high near 44 today. Rain likely before 3 p.m., perhaps a quarter of an inch of rain possible. Then tonight, more rain mixed with snow, a low of around 30. Maybe a half an inch of accumulation possible in RCE land tonight. Tomorrow, a slight chance of snow before 9 a.m. and less than a half an inch of snow possible for tomorrow. So that is your weather for the day across the Civic Media Radio Network. A couple of news headlines before we go back to the calls. The Biden administration facing a December deadline to terminate a public health authority known as Title 42 that was evoked at the onset of COVID pandemic and allowed officials to turn away migrants encountered at the U.S. southern border. Also, about 9 million people recently received emails from the Department of Education that mistakenly said their application for student loan forgiveness had been approved. Thus far, no one has received debt forgiveness because it's still being blocked by the federal courts. And France will play Morocco today at 1 o'clock Central Standard Time in the second match of the World Cup. Morocco has already made World Cup history with a series of surprising wins and reaching the milestone as the first African nation to advance to the quarterfinals or to the finals of the tournament. And now they'll face, they'll go on. The winner of today's match will face Argentina in the final match. Those are your weather and sports headlines. Going to the phones, once again, talking to a lot of folks today, asking what your favorite Christmas cookie is. It's kind of baking weather all across a lot of Wisconsin. So we've been asking, and we have Mr. Zommers, we have your sister on, is that correct?
Yeah, before we had your younger sister, now we have my older sister, Alyssa, and her daughter, my niece, Gracie.
It is family day here at the All Ball Show, and Alyssa, and we welcome you in. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
My pleasure. So what is your, what growing up with Aaron, what was your favorite holiday cookie growing up?
I have no idea.
do you like more like Aaron was saying, he really enjoys, I mean, he has the nut allergy, but like the peanut butter cookie with the chocolate. I mean, is that something you enjoy?
Oh, yes, I like those a lot, and sugar cookies.
Okay, and sugar cookies as well.
What about you, Gracie?
Santa.
Always a good answer.
You can't go wrong with Santa. You absolutely can't go wrong. You know, like a Santa Christmas cookie? Like
ho, ho, ho.
Oh, exactly. It is that time of year. Well, absolutely. Those are all great choices for Christmas cookies. Do you like them with like a glass of milk? Do you like hot chocolate? Do you like coffee? What do you like to drink?
Hot chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Marshmallows.
And marshmallows. Wow, that's a smart kid. Aaron, you have a smart family.
She knows what's up.
I can tell that. That's fantastic. Any other things you're looking forward to food-wise for the holiday season, you guys?
I don't know.
Hanging out with Aaron?
I hope so.
Yeah, definitely.
She had to think about that for a minute. But yeah, well, you guys are getting together, I think. Do you all end up in Manitowoc together? Is that kind of where you group for the holidays?
Yeah, we do it in Manitowoc.
Sometimes we meet up with other relatives in West Bend.
Oh, yeah.
Hasn't happened for holidays yet, but a couple of times my sisters have visited me here, which was pretty fun.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Well, very good. So, well, hopefully there'll be some Santa cookies for the holiday Christmas season and the Zahmer household and the Zahmer gathering. Well, we thank you guys for joining us. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful day and have a great holiday season with Aaron as well.
You too, and thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. Thanks for coming on. It's family day here at the show. That is Mr. Zahmer's sister and little niece. How old is your niece?
She is 4 years old.
Aw, that's sweet. That's awesome. Well, when we come back, we'll talk with one of my favorite people who oftentimes I act like I'm 4 years old, but he's much smarter and a much better writer than I am. Chris Pauls, former writer for The Onion, also an author and published author in his own right, will be joining us to talk about his life and about things that he has done writing and all other things as well. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media or Radio Network.
Ogres are like onions.
They stink?
Yes. No.
Oh, they make you cry?
No.
Oh, you leave them out in the sun, they get all brown, start sprouting little white hairs.
No.
Welcome layers. Back to the Todd Allball Show on Civic onions Media. Zahmer's, what is that from?
That is from Shrek, the quote where he starts talking about onions have layers, just because I thought we have a writer from The Onion that'd do something about onions.
A little connection. Very nice. Welcome back to the show. It is quarter after 9 on the program today, and welcome back in with us. Joining us in studio, we rarely have people that are willing to come into the studio these days, so appreciate making the trip in. We do have a former writer for The Onion and a published author in his own right, and a good friend of mine since childhood, and was our head writer on our first show years ago back in college, the old Sunday night show at UW Platteville that went out to like 13 communities across Southwest Wisconsin. And glad to have him here. Chris Pauls, welcome in.
Thanks for having me, Todd. I actually think I was making more money with you back then than I am now.
Which might have been like pizza or something. I'm not sure what we paid you in.
Yeah, it wasn't
cash. I know that much.
I was thinking about it last night, and I do remember going out for pizza one time. So, like I said, that's very similar to how I'm paid currently. So,
Well, I appreciate you coming in. We had dinner a couple nights ago with your lovely wife, Heather, who I've known a long time. Actually, those listeners that listen in, Kira Sabin, life coach extraordinaire, her sister is Heather, who is your lovely wife.
That's true.
And so you know Kira very well.
I do know Kira.
Is she as much of a hoot at family gatherings as she is on the air?
Well, we're about to find out. I mean, got one coming up. Going to be meeting over there with her and Danny and the whole tribe. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I will say this. Heather's dad, Joe, passed away a number of years ago, and he always kept the water moving pretty well at those things. I just, frankly, would just sit back and kind of let him hold court.
Joe is a great guy. He once broke my grandmother's rocking. He loved rocking chairs. He'd come over to my grandma's house, and he once broke a rocking chair.
Oh, he was an aggressive rocker. Like, he did not just, like, sit in those things. Like,
no.
He kicked the tires hard.
Absolutely. It was great to watch Joe Saban rock in a rocking chair. After you left Richland Center High School, you went on to have a very successful career while I was just slopping around for politicians all over the state. But I think for people who might not know, and I want to talk about your current works and your current published books, but take us back. You spent time writing for The Onion for quite a while.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing I'll say about that was it ended for me in 2021, and it was absolutely a transformative experience. I mean, I just can't say enough good things about it. It literally changed my life, and that's not hyperbole. And I have Joe Garden to thank because he was the one that got me a shot there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the way this works is you kind of have to know somebody to get in the door usually. But once you're in the door, it's all up to you.
For those that might not be aware, The Onion is a satirical newspaper publication. It started in Madison, correct?
Yep.
And was based here for a number of years, and then moved eventually to New York.
Moved to New York right around 9/11, which their 9/11 issue won the... Pretty sure it won the... Well, it won a big award. Yeah. Let's just say that. And, yeah, that's when I was mainly, like, working with them was out in New York. After they made the move to Chicago, a lot of the old guard writers kind of left, went to Adult Swim for a while, and then eventually kind of scattered and went their own ways. But, yeah, just being part of that group, Chris Karwowski, who was a local Madison guy that was part of what I call the old guard, I think he put it best. And writing for The Onion during those years was more like being in a punk rock band than it really was being like anything involved with comedy. None of the people there, none of the writers really viewed the thing as anything other than a way to just, as a lark, frankly, mm-hmm. and as a way to have fun. I remember I had an editor later who said in an email, "This is my first job in comedy." And I remember just like laughing and laughing at that, not because she was like trying to be funny or anything. And I don't mean to disparage her, but it was just such a foreign concept to me that you could make this a job, particularly like coming from a rural community like we did, just seemed all so far away. So it's just changed. The whole landscape of everything has just changed.
So you left The Onion in 2021. So when did you start with them?
2003.
All right, so the number of years.
Yep, 17. I don't think I beat Joe. I think he still is sort of like the Richland Centerite of record for longevity at The Onion.
I got to have Joe on the show. I mean, Joe Garden grew up with Chris and I as well in Richland Center. Another extraordinarily talented guy and a talented writer.
Yeah, he's more fun in 10 minutes than most people are in 10 years.
That's 100% right. That's 100% right. But I'd love to have him on the show and talk with him as well. Here's the thing that I want to know, because from just a reader and a viewer of life, I guess, I saw this on Saturday Night Live too. During the Trump years, was it more difficult to write that? Because I mean, it seemed like real life was better comedy and better entertainment than anything you could make up.
That's probably the loosest usage of the word "better" I've ever heard, but
you get the point though,
Trump. Look, the way I look at this whole thing is I thought Obama was actually like an extraordinarily hard comedy target, like for a number of reasons.
Sure.
But Trump, amazingly, was harder because like it just got to the point where it was just all so ridiculous. There was no amount of kind of climbing over that.
Yeah.
And it just all degenerate. Like that's my least favorite form of comedy. Like the political arena is not really what I mean, I don't care about it much in my normal life, and I certainly don't care about it in my professional life. I just feel like it's something that everybody's chasing all the time, and I would just as soon go and kind of like interrogate some other corners of the world that aren't so, you know, just bombarded all the time.
So what's your favorite genre to target? What's your favorite thing to write about?
I mean, I always considered myself kind of area man at The Onion, you know, and which is since the paper edition went away, that kind of like style of comedy went away from The Onion. But yeah, I just like kind of slice of life stuff. Like, for example, I'm currently at Cracked.com. I'm the comedy editor at Cracked. Mm-hmm. And I recently pitched an idea that we should go talk to the art director of a toilet paper company to see who decides on what floral prints to put on toilet paper. Because this is important, Todd. Like, we do important work like that.
But you're right. Somebody comes up with
it's
that.
It's somebody's job, you know? It's somebody's job to do that, and I need to know who that person is, and I need to know further what their process is. Every single day, for about 5 minutes, you get the chance to think about that.
You do. Well, five, you're lucky for me at my age, it's only five. But yeah, I mean, but then, like, do you have to, like, you know, is there like a prototype and you have to, like, use that to see if the color's
exactly
there? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I'll just say right now on the Devil's Advocate Radio that I'm perfectly willing to be part of that focus group.
That's fantastic. You just sit there and that's your job to figure out whether...
Not this one. This one. Wait, not that one. This one.
That inspired me.
In all the best ways, Flosh.
But see, that's fantastic. I mean, that's just everyday life stuff, right?
Yeah, that's what I prefer, actually. And yeah, at Cracked, we're kind of like going through a little bit of a editorial rebuild where we're doing some kind of different things with the site. And there's just a lot of room to kind of get into that. We ask a lot of really dumb questions to really smart people. Like recently we asked a world sort of renowned metallurgist all of our dumb questions about vibranium for Wakanda Forever. And the guy was super funny and like was really a sweetheart for like playing along. But yeah, that's kind of my favorite thing to do at work.
So tell people Cracked.com, what is it? And again, what your role is there?
So Cracked, most people probably remember it as son of a second Banana Mad magazine, you know, copy cat. And the print edition ceased in like 2005. And then some company called Demand Media bought the web business, right. And basically they transformed it. Jack O'Brien and Jason Pargin are principally responsible for taking it kind of in its current iteration, and they just basically Cracked invented the listicle. So the thing, all the stuff that BuzzFeed does, 10 this, 20 that, like Cracked was kind of first to that party.
Wow, I didn't know that.
It's just BuzzFeed scaled it, yeah. Right? They just got all the VC money and kind of blew it up. Mm-hmm. Where Cracked is just kind of like plugged along, although they own the comedy space for many years and actually were number one com score on comedy on the web right now.
Wow.
It's about 9 million uniques a month. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to grow that, and we're pivoting to kind of like what our editor-in-chief, Josh Schulmeier, calls like Cracked 3.0. So it's a fun process to be part of. Like a lot of people would probably be just like rebuild, but I just look at it as like definitely a glass half full. Like it's a chance to kind of shape this thing now, and not in any way slight what Jason and Jack did, because they're forever, you know, going to be known as the people that transformed Cracked into an internet commodity. But it's time for us to put our stamp on things. Yeah. So.
Do you find I mean, to your point earlier, I think today people get I get overwhelmed. I mean, we deal with politics all the time and current events, and it can be overwhelming and depressing. Do you find that places like Cracked.com and other sources where people just want to escape? They just want to, like, do you see it? Do you attribute part of that kind of rise in hits and eyes to people just wanting to get the heck out of Dodge?
It's some of that, but the hard thing is, Todd, is that the way content is consumed these days is usually, the days of people going to websites is kind of behind us. They consume everything through kind of a third-party filter. Yeah. So whether it's a social media channel like Facebook or Twitter, usually get your stuff from somewhere else.
Yeah.
And what you find is a lot of those algorithms, you know, really work towards what I'm putting in air quotes, engagement. And the quickest way to get engagement is to kind of start a fight, frankly, or like basically say something controversial that gets everybody ginned up in the comments. So to your point, like we definitely cover the culture wars in our own way when we think it's appropriate, but we don't in any way, shape or form try to like weaponize that. And I think you're right. Like, just back to what I said before, my favorite stuff to do is more positive. And like, you know, I don't have any problems taking it to somebody if they got it coming, because yeah. That's part of our job too.
Yeah.
And to be judicious about that. But like I said, I would rather keep it on the sunny side somewhat and just, you know, use it all as a force to get people together rather than divide.
Chris Pauls from Cracked.com, also former writer for The Onion and published author in his own right, is our guest this half hour here on the show. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about books. You are a published author, my friend. And also, he has plugged. But you are.
It's true.
And he also has a great shrimp recipe, apparently, he's going to share with us. It's the holiday. Do you make this recipe for the holidays?
I just make it on Saturdays when I feel like it. Yeah, I understand that John Torgerson is listening specifically for the recipe.
Is that
he doesn't
true?
Really give a rip what we say otherwise.
He's
coming for the recipe. So,
he's been waiting in nervous anticipation.
So, John, you better be listening, because if you're not, I'll know.
You can always get it on the podcast as well. We'll be back and get a Chris Paul's shrimp recipe and also whatever else is on his mind. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Request of the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media. That's Fu Manchu. By request of our guest today, Chris Pauls.
Fu just rocks.
You can't go wrong with that, right?
No, they sing about just stupid stuff, and I love it. It's about like fast cars. It's just really good rock and roll.
Put the windows down on a summer day and fly.
Yeah,
there you go. We both grew up in Richland Center. Went to Richland Center High School, and. The campus, we've been talking about this on this show a lot. The UW Richland campus, it was announced by System and by Platteville a couple of weeks ago over the Thanksgiving holiday, of course, that and after the election for State Senator Howard Markline, they were closing the son of a gun. And
Our beloved campus.
It is not set well with locals. And your thoughts on that, Chris Pauls, on the announced closure of the campus?
Well, Todd, I've been doing some sort of loose reporting on this, and I don't have anything confirmed yet. I'd like to real forthright about that out of the gate. But I've uncovered a couple things that I think probably are, I'm not going to say newsworthy because, again, this has not been confirmed, but my initial reporting leads to the following. The parties that are involved here in sort of cementing this closure, like, I think I know why they want to do it.
Here, right here, breaking news, Chris Pauls, comedy editor of crack.com, has unearthed the real reason they're closing the campus. Please, go ahead.
Three reasons, Todd. The first one being they want to melt down the Coppertop Theater for the copper.
I did not know that.
I'm getting additional sources, but the people that I'm working with suggest that it's a strong possibility. And this could start as soon as tomorrow.
All the roofs are made out of copper there.
It's true.
It is true.
Yeah, and I don't know why they need the money. I'll just let the listening public speculate on that. But like some kind of crazed hobo, they're going to just melt the thing down for the copper.
And could start as soon as tomorrow.
It could. Maybe even this afternoon.
People better get out to the campus right now and prevent that. They're already taking the piano out of the copper top, from what I've been told. That's actually true.
Yeah.
But the roof is next.
Yeah, and then the other thing I've learned is that the people that are involved here just care nothing about an organizing principle of higher education. Right. And that organizing principle is this. Where will future generations learn to play foosball? I mean, with this gone, like, the push and pull educational component of college will be gone forever in Richland Center.
Yeah, I know. How many hours have I spent playing since I was a kid, before I was a student, when my dad was athletic director there, learning to play foosball at the student center at the campus?
It was an integral part of everything.
Right.
You know, I mean, I can't tell you how many chicken sandwiches I cranked down after just getting blown off the table by, because I was a terrible foosball player and remain so to this day.
You and me both. But a good chicken sandwich from Laurie Allen at the Roadrunner Cafe. You can't go wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I feel like they were crushing it long before Popeyes got that
100%.
Idea in their head.
100%.
And there were no knife fights trying to get them either.
No. People were calm. Calm and well-behaved.
Yeah. They're just looking to play some foos.
So the third
class. And then the third thing I've unearthed, Todd, is this. They want the Roadrunner mascot costume.
Platteville does, or the System?
Well, I think it's, you said it. I'm not really willing to, you know, venture who's at play here. I'd rather keep that nebulous. And honestly, isn't that just better for radio?
It is.
But, they want the Roadrunner costume for some kind of just crazed Eyes Wide Shut party that's going to include a lot of, exactly.
You You know, I once wore the Roadrunner mascot costume.
I don't doubt it. And we can just stop there. I don't want to know in what context.
A good time was had by all, as Ken Lewis once said.
Oh, boy. Well, on to the shrimp recipe.
There you have it. Unearthed, hitherto unknown facts by cracked comedy editor Chris Pauls on why the campus is really being shut. And
yeah, I expect to really blow the lid off this thing in the coming days. And well, the Pulitzer will be mine.
And you have an outlet. We have 3 hours a day to fill. Anytime you have breaking news like that, just dial me up.
Sure will.
We're always here for you. Chris, before we go to that, do you want to go to the shrimp recipe now, or do you want to talk a little bit about your published works?
Sure, we can do that. Let's talk a little bit about Deck Z and the Giant Smugglers. They're books that I wrote with my co-conspirator, who I just love to death and then feel eminently lucky just to be able to collaborate with still each and every day, Matt Solomon, mm-hmm. who's our beat writer, comedy beat writer. So he and I still get a chance to work together. Those were two books, Deck Z, the Titanic, and the Giant Smugglers that we worked on in 2010 and 2012. So it's been a little while for us. Hoping to drag Matt back into another project here. But we keep him so busy on the comedy beat at Crack, there isn't a lot of time. But both of those books were really fun to write. They're very kind of the same but different, I would say. Deck Z was picked up by the Scholastic Book Fair, so we polluted a lot of young minds that way. And it was also a giant Junior Library Guild selection, so it's in libraries throughout the world. And I just like to say it's the best darn book we could write about zombies on the Titanic.
It's a great book. I mean, tell people a little bit about what it was about.
So, yeah, we got approached by Chronicle, which is the biggest indie publisher in America. They're really, really great publisher. Around the time 2012, when it was the 100th anniversary of the sinking, and they basically wanted to do something about the Titanic. Mm. And they came to us, and we thought they wanted something funny. And so we pitched them some ideas, and they're like, yeah, we're not really feeling it. And we're just on this call, you know, with the editor, and you only have so much time in these things, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like 10 minutes to get the job. And this idea just popped in my head, and I just blurted out, Sarah, it's like Alien on the Titanic. That's what we want to do. We want to put this thing on the ship that could explain a lot of the reasons that they made the choices they made, but like nobody knows the real truth. And we did a lot of research, and we made it all work. Everything that's in that book could definitely have taken place.
Yeah, I mean, it's not completely fictional.
No, we have one toe in reality. That's what
but sometimes that's all it takes.
It really is. You know, I talked with actually Drew Niles, who's fellow RCHS student, and I talked to him a lot about sort of the virality of the virus we were putting on the ship, and like how it could spread, and you know what the best vectors would be. So yeah, everybody just went to sleep out there. But anyway, it was exhaustively researched, and we're both very, very proud of it.
And that's one of the things. If you're going to be a good writer, it doesn't matter. I don't think what genre. There's a heck of a lot of research that goes into that before you even start writing what you intended to write.
Yeah, I think you have to, most people say, or a lot of people say in writing, that there's two sort of classes or schools of thought of doing it. There's pantsers and plotters. So Stephen King is a pantser. He says he doesn't do anything in advance, and he just sits down and starts writing. Well, that's how you get it. You know, a 200,000 word book about the Kennedy assassination. Right. Like, maybe an editor would help. But I just criticized Stephen King, by the way.
That's fantastic.
I know. I hope he comes for me.
He could come on this show anytime.
Yeah, come on in, Stephen. We'll even pay for your verified checkmark on Twitter this month. But
are you on Twitter, by the way?
I am. At Chris Pauls. I don't tweet very much. I'm thinking about getting off that.
See, I'm perplexed.
Star.
I'm perplexed because I I love Twitter for the, I follow it for the information.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is, right? It's just like the best kind of behind the scenes news thing.
Right.
Like breaking news.
Yeah, exactly.
We use it for that for sure.
Like, and it's like if Twitter, I mean, I hate all the Elon Musk stuff. I hate all the crap that he's doing, bringing back all the Nazis and anti-Semites and all this kind of stuff. But I mean, I still like it for information.
And honestly, there's a ton. I think most of the really good comedy in the world right now is being done on Twitter.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Well, prior to this latest cavitation, let's call it.
Yeah.
And now there's just a lot of people kind of whining about Musk and threatening to leave the platform, which always just kills me. They're like,
right.
Just leave, you know? Don't sit here and like threaten to leave Twitter. No one cares. Just either stay or go. One of the two.
I'll be on Mastodon. Yeah. Find me there.
But, yeah, what were you saying? Panthers and Plotters. So the Panthers just do it on the fly. The Plotters sit down and kind of like really architect the thing before you even write the first word. And Matt and I are definitely in the latter category. Mm-hmm. Like we plot everything out. And so that's what we did with Dexy and the Giant Smugglers. Then we went back. I think we did 12 rewrites of Dexy.
Wow.
Yeah. And only in the final one, we changed the sex of the little kid from a boy to a girl. And very interestingly, it made the story click so much harder.
Mm-hmm.
So you just find little things along the way. And, you know, somebody a lot smarter than me said that writing is rewriting. And that's the way you do it. Just keep bending the blade till you make the samurai sword.
I don't know if I know the answer to this question, if you ever told me or not, but how did you get your first... your first gig, so to speak? How did you kind of break through and get that first deal?
I broke through with a group of people from The Onion, Anita Sarwacki, Janet Ginsburg, Scott Sherman, Joe Garden, and myself wrote a series of parody books for Random House. Mm. The first one was called The Dangerous Book for Dogs, and that wound up getting me an agent. And Victoria Skernick at Levine Greenberg Rustin is my agent, and... yeah, that was, again, I have The Onion to thank for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a relationship since then. I'm currently working on something, but I'm sort of in the muck right now trying to figure out some story mechanics for it. But I will get it done. I'm doing a graphic novel, writing a graphic novel script for the first time. So,
wow.
Hopefully have something to Victoria by next summer.
See, these are the types of friends I have. Chris Pauls is an agent. I barely can get, you know, I have Agent Orange is just my hair.
I send her a lot of flowers.
That's fantastic. Can you join us for one more segment here for the 10 minutes?
Sure.
We have time? All
sure.
Right. And Chris is busy, has places to go and things to do, but I don't want to rush the recipe.
No.
You understand? This is, I mean, little do you know when you tune into this show, you get politics, you get comedy, you get cooking.
It's absolutely a full service thing. This show is like the Quick Trip of the airwaves.
I like that. Maybe we get them as a sponsor, Aaron. Quick Trip of the airwaves.
Quick Trip of the airwaves. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I like that. I mean, I was going for
a while.
I
need to see how clean the bathroom is, though. Thanks.
Go ahead.
It's cleaner than Quick Trip, probably.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Aaron, a little slight there than Quick Trip.
Well, not a slight, just that, you know, we have fewer people going in and out.
And you guys sell cigarettes, too, which
yeah,
is cool.
Exactly.
We give them away.
We sell tobacco products here at Civic Media. No, we don't. We're going to talk about a little segment as well with Chris Pauls, and also a little bit more about his time writing. I guess we have a minute or so here before. When you sit down, you're working on a new project now. I'm not a published author, but I write stuff for new projects. I two places I think a lot. In the shower, I take extraordinarily long showers, and I'm actually just thinking. And I also walk. Like I'm that bowl of writing in my head before I ever sit down and put anything on paper.
I was talking with David Marinus. I met him one time. I got really lucky and met him. He's the, he did win the Pulitzer Prize.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he does the same thing. Exactly what you just described. It takes a lot of walks. It's kind of the right brain, left brain thing. Mm-hmm. You know, occupy your right brain and your left brain, the creative side. Do I have that right? I think so.
I think so.
You know, kind of wakes up. But I often do the same thing. I often get a lot of good ideas right away in the morning, though.
Really?
When I wake up. Yeah, I drive Heather crazy. I'll like lean over and be like, hey, what do you think of this? She's just like, shut up. I'm sleeping.
Do you some people keep like a pad and paper next to their bed?
Nah, I should do that, but I don't.
Yeah.
And I almost forgot an idea this morning because I don't do that.
Our 30 seconds, do you write longhand on paper or a computer or both?
It's all computer these days.
Really?
Yeah.
I do both. I tend to be more creative.
My writing's terrible.
Well, so is mine. It's like a shorthand, but I just retype it.
I'm left-handed.
Come back and talk more with Cracked Comedy, Cracked.com comedy editor Chris Pauls when we return to the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media or Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9:50, the time of the temperature sign. Glad to have you along with us across the Civic Media Radio Network at WRCE in Richland Center, WXCO in Wausau, and WXCE in Amory, where Wausau and Amory today getting several inches of snow, up to 7 to 8 inches by the time all is said and done. Yeah, tomorrow night on Thursday in Wausau, about 3 to 4 in Amory, maybe a half inch of snow by the time everything is said and done in RCE land, but mostly rain in that neck of the woods. Joining us this hour, our friend, our former writer for Sunday Night at Platteville. He has gone to do much bigger and better things since then. He is currently the comedy editor.
That was the best job I ever had.
No, it wasn't, but thank you for saying that. Comedy editor for Cracked.com, formerly at The Onion and current author and publisher extraordinaire, Chris Pauls.
Oh, boy.
Chris, we welcome you back to the program. I want to talk, just before we get to this recipe here, college football, your thoughts on Luke Fickell and the new head coach at Wisconsin Badgers. Give us your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, I think like most people, I was pretty surprised when that came cranking across ESPN on a Sunday afternoon, was it?
Yeah.
And, like, I think McIntosh did what he felt like he had to do, which was kind of break away from the Barry Alvarez coaching tree and start new and perhaps with a different coach that would be open to, you know, doing things that Wisconsin really does well, run the ball, play on the line of scrimmage with the big palookas up front, but, you know, diversify a little bit to try to stretch the field a little more and put some more points on the board. And, you know, honestly, it's just like, it's kind of like what we're undergoing right now at Cracked. Like, Josh Schollmeyer came in there, he's doing his vision for the thing, and we're all there to support him. And I feel like McIntosh felt like, this is what I need to do. You know, I kind of have to put my stamp on this, and this is the way I'm going to do it.
So. We had our fellow Richland Centerite, Brady Ewing, former fullback for the Badgers and former NFL player and former strength and conditioning coach under Paul Christ for the Badgers, was on this show after Fickell got hired. And he knows all these players, right?
Sure.
Literally all the players in the whole story. And, you know, he said, look, Jim Leonard is a friend. I've known him. You know, I feel for him. I think he could have done a great job. Great guy. But he said, I think as I thought about it and kind of the emotion went away, I realized it was probably the right thing for the program. And Luke Fickell is going to do a great job. We talked a little bit. I'm a big fan of Mike Leach, who passed away yesterday at the age of 61, Mississippi State coach. And he created the air raid offense, which is now coming to Wisconsin via Phil Longo, the offensive coordinator for North Carolina. So it ties in. And Mike Leach came up with this, you know, air raid offense. It's very interesting. And I think Wisconsin fans should relax. There'll still be some running involved as well. Oh,
yeah. They're not going to stop running the ball.
No, they're not. But we had some of these cuts on from Mike Leach yesterday. And I don't know if you're a fan of Mike Leach or not, or follow him that much. But, I mean, the guy, you know, just he talks about what kind of, in a post-game interview, about, you know, his favorite Halloween candy. And, like, he's serious about this stuff.
Yeah,
you know, he doesn't just blow people off. He'll sit there and talk for 2 minutes about Halloween candy.
Or on the broadcast, how you hate
here's
candy corn.
A little cut.
What's your favorite Halloween candy?
Candy corn. I mean, I completely hate candy corn.
Sounds like he's got a mouthful of now.
Gummy bears. Let's see. Gummy bears.
All right, that's enough, Aaron. Thank you. Yes, thank you, Aaron. But we played some of these cuts yesterday, and I don't know. For my money, Chris, I think that some of the best comedy, some of the stuff that makes me laugh the hardest, is just like that natural stuff. It's not pre-written. It's just who people are.
Yeah, I mean, I just know so many people that are just hilarious, like extemporaneously, and I mean, what's better during the day, you know, especially if you're having a crummy day, than to be around somebody who's just funny out of the box, you know?
Yeah.
Just makes life go a little smoother, I think.
It does. And one of the great things I think, about you and about Joel Garden, some of the other people we know, I mean, you guys were as funny in forensics and just around the halls in high school as you are now. And you're the same person. I mean, we've all grown. We've all gotten a little older. But I mean, you're the same.
I didn't have the Tommy Lee Jones grade bags under my eyes that I have now. Actually,
come on now.
Yeah. They termed me in a writer's room one time, Tommy Lee Jones Jr.
You don't have bags under your eyes.
Come on.
Yeah, no, I don't see it.
All right.
I think, although our friend Rob Wheat sent us a photo the other day of you in a kitchen. I don't know, it was with you and Heather. And I said, that's a perfect photo of Chris because he looks slightly content, but also like, when the heck is this going to be over?
that's pretty much, most of my life.
All right, let's get to this recipe now. You've promised our friend John Torgerson you're going to share a shrimp recipe.
Yes, this is barbecued shrimp.
All right.
So you're going to need a pound.
We're joking. No, it's not. We did not go to a test pattern.
We're just seeing if John's still listening.
John was like, no.
He just fell out of his chair.
All right. No, seriously, go ahead.
Yeah. You're going to need a pound of raw shrimp. Okay.
All right.
Peeled, deveined. You don't have to get the super big ones. Just maybe get the medium size ones. I forget what that
size
is.
Doesn't matter 20. When it comes to shrimp.
Well, you don't want to get the super big ones because I think those
jumbo
are tough.
Shrimp.
Yeah, super jumbo. Yeah, they're not great for. Do whatever you want. Anyway, so here's what else you're gonna need: a half cup of olive oil, 2 tablespoons of red wine vinegar, 1 tablespoon of oregano, 1 tablespoon of black pepper, 1 tablespoon of hot sauce of your choice, 1 tablespoon of Worcestershire, and 8 tablespoons of ketchup.
Ooh.
If you want to, these are alts. Mm. You can also add 1/4 cup of lemon juice and about 8 sprigs of fresh rosemary if you happen to have a garden and have a little fresh rosemary.
All right.
Mix all those things together in a large bowl. Dump the shrimp in there and let that marinate for about 4 hours at least. Not overnight. No, you shouldn't let it sit in overnight because it kind of starts to make the shrimp mealy.
Okay.
So do that for about 4 hours and then go put them on skewers and get your grill as hot as you can and grill them until they turn pink and turn once. And as soon as they turn pink, like get them off.
All right.
Because they're done. And that's it. Enjoy.
That's a fantastic.
Recommend that with a margarita, and it'll just be a wonderful Saturday evening.
Can we put this on our website?
Of course.
All right, Mr. Zommers, is that possible? Can we put Chris's recipe on there?
I'll leave you the card.
Yes. All right, fantastic. Wonderful. Awesome. We'll have Chris Paul's recipe for barbecue. It sounds wonderful and simple.
It's very – oh, I forgot. The other thing you're going to need in there is about 8 cloves of chopped garlic.
Oh, you can't leave the garlic out.
Yeah, I forgot. How dare I?
It sounds wonderful.
It's the bomb. And honestly, I didn't really come up with this. It's a recipe for barbecue sauce that I found in a garlic lover's cookbook, and then I just sort of adapted it, which is by just cranking everything up to like ridiculous levels.
But isn't that what all recipes are? They're based on something else, so you kind of like do your own thing. I mean, Bobby Flay's not making his own recipes all the time. Come on,
Bobby.
I mean, you know, Chris Paul is a Bobby Flay.
Bobby Flay just seems like a Bobby. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I hear you. You lead quite a life.
Yeah.
He'd be interesting. Chris Paul's comedy editor for crack.com, extraordinaire, the wonderful author and great guy. We appreciate you being on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Todd.
My pleasure. Anytime. The mic is always open for you.
Well, maybe.
We'll be back to the Todd O'Ball Show after this on Civic Media.